Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
You know, when I'm asked what is the secret to a happy marriage, I'm reminded of a scene from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. The villain is searching for the Holy Grail and dies because he chooses the wrong chalice. And the knight who's guarding the Grail says, he chose poorly. My best advice for creating a successful marriage is to choose wisely. Unfortunately, this process isn't as simple as it seems. The biological impulses that drive falling in love don't always result in making a good choice for a long-term partner. And then, even when we do choose well, the normal ups and downs of a relationship can make us question our choices years later. The good news is that there's information available to help guide your initial choice and then in keeping that choice a positive one through the years. And to share some of that information, I want to welcome my guest, Dr. Aaron Benzaev. He is a professor of philosophy and the former president of the University of Haifa. So, Aaron, Dr. Benzaev, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing this really important information, because I know people get really frustrated over the years with their partners. And they don't
and
think
they
there's anything they can do about
the they blame the initial choice.
Right.
But I'm not sure that they should blame the initial choice, but the way they develop with the partner, but also the initial choice.
Right. But you wrote a recent article for Psychology Today called How to Choose a Long-Term Partner, and you mentioned three really important factors and how they interact. So can I ask you briefly to mention what they are?
Yes. The three factors are attractiveness of the person, the overall value of the person, and the value of the person as a partner. All factors are essential for long-term love, though they have different weights at different times. Thus, attractiveness is most important at the beginning. The overall value and the value as a partner are important all the time. Even so, most important factor for the long term is the value of the person as a partner.
Right. And a lot of times in the beginning, we're not, like I said before, we have these biological impulses that what I call are the processes that get us to meet, mate, and procreate. And then we're kind of like, okay, great, now what do I do with this person? But and that first one, I'd like to dive a little bit deeper into all of them, but let's, you know, but attractiveness is really a big factor when we are first meeting somebody. And you know, how does that actually work, and then how does it get in the way?
Yes, attractiveness is a kind of magnet, having the ability to draw someone toward the other. It is a property of the connection between the two lovers. Mm-hmm. Physical attractiveness is of great value at the beginning of romantic relationship. Most people emphasize the importance of such attractiveness in their choice of a partner. Indeed, romantic evaluation of a partner tend to be more positive when the partner is physically attractive.
Well,
the
and
positive effect of attractiveness on new relationships are robust at most universal. However, and this is important point, over time, the weight of attractiveness in relationships decrease. You can see it even after 5-10 years.
Right. And most people still want to remain attractive to their partner and have their partner be attractive to them. So what happens in those intervening years that, I mean, now sometimes a person will physically change, but sometimes it's really not the fact that they've physically changed. It's really kind of, isn't it kind of the lens we look at them through?
I think it is a kind of getting used to them. As
okay.
someone said, yes, to meet someone at the first time is very, very exciting. However, to have the same person for 3 days at the house, the excitement is a little bit less. That is to say, we get used to the person, our evaluation are getting less and less positive, or if the initial attraction was negative, the evaluation later on become less negative. This is a kind of hedonic adaptation to something which is average.
So that's sort of that familiarity breeds contempt kind of thing, that we become almost, what's the word I'm looking for? Not immune, but we become very, very used to seeing this person, and you know, there's kind of the excitement or the allure kind of disappears over time. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. The major change for the emergence of emotions is perception of significant change in our situation. Change is what generate excitement, generate desire. However, change is something that we get used to it. So after a while, there is no change, and the excitement is inevitably getting down. For example, there are studies about the frequency of sexual interactions.
Uh-huh.
So after a year, it is half than it was after a month of marriage. And as you know, all of the married people know, it gets lesser and lesser as the years go by. So the issue of attractiveness is by definition getting weaker because we get used. We want, in order to be excited, we need a change. And therefore, our partner cannot provide the same excitement that the partner provided at the beginning. This is the main problem of long-term love. That long-term love, we say, it is with the same partner.
Uh-huh.
However, change is what generates excitement, and therefore you can ask, how can we speak about long-term love if there is no change?
Well,
and my answer... Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And my answer is that there is kind of change, but the change is internal, intrinsic. It is change of development in the connection. When the connection.
That's really important. And people need to understand that you can still remain in a vital relationship with somebody, but you have to recognize the reality of what's actually happening and the idea that you will find other people attractive, because as my husband and I say to each other, we're married, we're not dead. But, you know, and that new feeling, that intense newness can really cause problems in a long-term relationship if you're not taking care of that relationship, correct?
Yes, but I should emphasize, we must take into account that typically the excitement, the intensity will go lower. Not mm-hmm. disappear, but go lower. And therefore, we need something else that will make us stay. And the something else that will make us stay is kind of a profound love.
Okay.
I think that a long-term love requires mild intensity rather than wild intensity.
I like that.
Wild rather than wild. Yes.
So that kind of brings up the next factor that you talked about, which is the overall value of the person. So how do we determine this?
Yes, all the value of the person is quite important in the appraisal of the person as a partner. However, this is qualities that everyone can detect. For example, being handsome, being ugly, being intelligent, having a sense of humor. These qualities can be compared with other people, and other people can be compared what we have now. The comparison can go to other people, can go to imagined people, can refer to the neighbor, next door neighbor. By the way, there are studies suggesting that many people desire the next door neighbor. So the comparison is all around, and the score of each person can be measured by other people. Therefore, you can compare. And when you make all the time this comparison, then you are in a problem, because there is always be someone, some widow say to me, there will always be other women who are more prettier, richer, more intelligent than me. So I have to accept the fact that my relationship with a man may end. The comparison make it very difficult for us to stay with other people, with our partner, because we have so many opportunities all around, so many options all around. And if love is in there, that is, love is very close to us, we must compare and see why I think I should stay with my partner. My partner is somewhat inferior to all those that I see around.
Isn't that part of the problem, though, that sometimes because we, maybe our partner does something that displeases us, we're not happy about, and we tend to focus or get caught up in the things that our partner isn't doing or isn't being, and we stop looking at the things that they do well, and especially if we're comparing them to somebody new in our life. And you know, we're looking at those new people kind of through those wild, rose-colored glasses, that newness that is so attractive to human beings. And we stop looking at our partner as a complete person. One of the things I ask my clients is, what do you know about your partner? And so in my particular case, I know my partner has a great sense of humor. I know he's intelligent. I know he has good values, and I know also that he would never intentionally hurt me. So if I can hold on to all of those things, then it gives me a different view of what's happening in my relationship right now than if I think, oh yeah, he did that on purpose to make me feel bad.
Yeah, you are right. The issue here is how and to what to focus our attention, our comparison. It is, as you said, it is easier to fall in love with a stranger.
Yeah.
The sexual desire toward a stranger is much higher than a sexual desire to a familiar person, because of the change that I spoke about.
Absolutely.
So the new person has unfair advantage regarding our own partner. And we should not look at those external quality, as you mentioned, intelligent, sense of humor, tall, and such a thing, because you will always find, and I promise you, you will find as well, men who will be more intelligent, with greater sense of humor, more handsome than your husband. If you look very hard all over the world, you will find some people like this. However, this is not the way you should look. This is not the way you should search. What we should search is how your husband, how this person is good as a partner, not
right.
as
we'll
a...
We'll get to that, and I want to hold off on that for just a minute, because I do want to also say something about, you know, when we meet somebody new, we don't see... I don't want to call them flaws, but we don't see the complete person. Because when we first meet people, we're always looking at their positive qualities, unless somebody, of course, is you're just showing a bunch of negative qualities, but then we probably aren't attracted to them anyway. But for somebody who we find attractive, you know, we're looking at all their best stuff and not necessarily looking at the challenging parts of them, which if we've been with somebody for a while, we definitely see maybe the things that they aren't so great at.
You are absolutely right. When we look at a new person, we focus about the more attractive aspect, and this quality of attractiveness of handsome are reflected in our evaluation of his or her other quality, inner quality, which we don't know at the moment. A new person, who just sees the external. And the external can be wonderful, because this is what we see. This is what we want to see. However,
exactly.
This is good only for the beginning.
And that's what people, I think, have to understand, that you can only be in a new relationship once, and because eventually that relationship is going
yeah.
to become, you know, common Ooh. Or comfortable or whatever, and it's very difficult to reintroduce new into an existing relationship. And I want to remind people, this is Happily Ever After, is just the beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm having an important conversation about how to choose a good long-term partner with Professor of Philosophy, Dr. Aaron Benzaev. And if you're questioning whether you chose a compatible partner, I urge you not to despair. Instead, I encourage you to have a conversation with me about whether it's true incompatibility or the normal shift in focus that happens over time in a long-term relationship. So take a moment and send me an email or pick up the phone and give me a call to take advantage of my free no-obligation breakthrough strategy session. You can reach me at Leslie, L-E-S-L-I, at foundationscoachingnc.com. That's F-O-U-N-D-A-T-I-O-N-S. Coaching, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie, .com, or you can reach me at area code 919-924-0463. Now, I want to get to the most important, I think, quality factor for a long-term partner, and this is what, Dr. Benzaev, you call the value of the person as a partner. So how is this different from their value just as a person?
The value of a person as a partner emphasizes on the connection, how this person is in the connection to you. The person can be beautiful, rich, young, sense of humor, intelligent, but if he will behave to you shit, if he will behave to you in an ugly manner, is
yeah.
not good for you. It's not
right.
good for you. So what you should focus is on these qualities of him as a partner, as in the connection. Is this person generous? Is he caring? About reciprocity? All issues that contribute to our flourishing and the flourishing of our relationship. So if we focus on this, the comparative with other people are useless, because you don't know how these external people, new people, as a partner. They can impress you, but you don't know it. You are not familiar to him or her, and you don't know it. There are some quality, romantic profundity that need time. Time together. Familiarity indeed decreases somewhat the romantic intensity, but increase the connection. The connection for the long term. And in the long term, what is important is the profundity of the connection. I don't say that desire and sexual desire and intensity are not important. They are important. I don't say that you should not have wide love. You should have if you can. However, this is not the essence of long-term relationship. The essence of long-term relationship is ongoing connection, and the connection is inevitably mild, not wild, because cannot be wild all the time. You need to connect, yes? So you need to be a little bit more moderate, yes.
I think what you're saying is so critically important, and I'm sure you're familiar with Esther Perel's work. She's the author of Dating in Captivity. And it's the same thing about how do we strike a balance between having some wild but also some safety, because long-term relationships are really built in safety, not boredom. That's a whole different thing, but because to actually really express or feel safe to be our whole selves, there has to be a sense of safety that it's okay for me to be vulnerable, to be really open, because that's really where the long-term deeper connection, deeper intimacy, and intimacy, I'm not talking about sex, although that's great, but this...
It is indeed.
But this really intense connection that we can only get when we know somebody really well.
Yes, I completely agree with you. The connection is important, and connection for the long term. I would say that the most important thing here is the trust. Building trust. When you build trust, you don't have to worry a little bit. You don't have to be careful on every sentence or deed that you are doing. You can be calm. Profound love is characterized by calmness, peacefulness, and not necessarily by excitement. Excitement is good, I said, but it is not the essence. If the excitement is great, but you don't have the trust, so the relationship will not continue for a long time. There is no correlation, or at least no significant correlation, between the enjoyment of sexual relationship and the enjoyment of the satisfaction of the romantic relationship. Of course it is good, the sexual satisfaction. But if you don't have, as you said, the intimacy or the trust or the calmness in the relationship, if you don't see that the relationships are moving ahead, developing, you and the relationship, they will not endure for a long time.
And I'm of the view that most things have to be not either or. It can't, you know, either
exactly.
It's exciting or it's long term. It has to be both and. We have to find a way to continue to introduce and maybe not recapture the wild excitement of first love, because I don't think that's possible, but to still retain elements of that so that there still is excitement. I mean, I've been with my husband for 32 years, and we still can surprise each other with, oh, my goodness, I didn't know that about you. I mean, and we've been together for a very long time, but part of what we're learning about each other is at that deeper level of trust where I know it's okay for me to say this because it's safe, and I trust my partner to hold that, and he trusts me.
Yes, I completely agree. As I say, a romantic relationship should have some kind of intensity, some kind of desire, some kind of sexual desire, or more precisely, the desire to be with each other.
Uh-huh.
Not necessarily sexual, but a desire to be with each other. However, as you said, this desire with time is reduced, but don't disappear. It is reduced to a reasonable level, which is can be over the average, can be if you are in love, but it cannot be the main measure of the profundity of the relationship. The profundity of a long-term relationship is built by sharing things, by doing things together, by developing together, by having meaningful development, meaningful activity that you will remember for the long time, that will make you feel better in the relationship.
In one sentence,
that you feel that you, each of you, bring out the best from each other. This is the most important.
And I love that, because isn't that sort of, at least my experience when I'm working with my clients, is that we stop seeing the best in each other. And sometimes I don't bring it out, or sometimes I'm not my best, but usually my husband can bring that out in me, because my relationship matters to me. But I think a lot of people tend to stop looking at the positive aspects of their partner, because the negative can be so overwhelming that, you know, here's something that my partner does that really makes me crazy, and I'm spending all of my time focusing on that instead of looking at the things that my partner does that are wonderful.
Yes. This is it is natural that when we trust when there is love, you can notice also the negative aspect, because with all due respect, also your husband has some flaws. However, the issue is what weight you will give to these flaws.
Uh-huh.
Whether you just look at it and go on, or whether you'll dwell on it, ruminate on it. We should remember that no one is perfect, and there is nothing wrong in married an imperfect partner as we are imperfect. All of us are imperfect, so why you should dream only about the perfect prince or princess?
Right, because once you get with that prince, his imperfections are going to show up too. So that's one of the things
exactly
that I think people miss. And I think that your discussion, your factor of the value of the person as a partner and the value just of the person as paying attention to all of their qualities, is so critical, because we can choose. Like you said, we can choose the weight with which we give any particular factor. And this is where I talk with my clients about, yes, there are some deal breakers, that if this is present, your relationship isn't going to survive, nor should it survive. But those things that in and of themselves are so awful that will change or end the relationship, there shouldn't be a lot of them.
Yes, I agree, and I can say we should be more positively, with a more positive attitude toward our partner. We cannot pretend that every frog will turn into the perfect prince. But yes, but we can be more generous in evaluating the positive aspect of our partner. And in any case, an imperfect lover does not necessarily imply and imperfect love.
I love that.
We can have perfect and wonderful and profound love with imperfect person, because we are also imperfect.
Absolutely. So this has been really, really helpful, and I love that we can have perfect love with an imperfect partner. I love that so much. So where can people find out more about you, about how they can look at their partners differently, how they can really kind of experience what we're all looking for, which is that feeling safe, feeling loved, feeling cherished in our lives? Where can they find out more about your writings and about
I have a blog on love in Psychology Today. You just insert my name, and in Psychology Today, you can also, the name of the blog is In the Name of Love, which is the name of one of my books on love. And in my blog in Psychology Today, I have many, over 200 posts about love, about such practical issue, and some more theoretical issue as well.
Well, that's terrific. And I just want to remind people, you can only experience new with something or someone once. And as we talked about today, you then get to choose what you pay attention to and how much weight you're going to give it. So familiarity doesn't have to breed contempt. That will happen only if you let it. So widening your view of your partner can really help you see more of their positive traits. And ultimately, this will lead you to see them much more favorably and increase your chances for a happy and successful marriage. So until next week, stay loving.